Hey, it's Aiden Mortensen here with another Castle Country Focus interview. Today, over the phone, we are joined by Representative Christine Watkins, and we're going to be doing our legislative update. Representative Watkins, it's always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for taking the time to keep us updated with what's going on up on the Hill.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you've been in session for a few weeks now, and that's given some time to let some bills start developing, you know, see where they're going in terms of votes, committees, stuff like that. And you've had quite a few that have been able to make it to the floor and then move on to the Senate. So let's talk about some of those for a second. And I think one that I'm kind of interested in personally is your grid-enhancing technologies bill.
Yes, that's almost a no-brainer because, as I presented to the committee, it's like low-hanging fruit. What we want to do is tell the electric utilities, hey, there's some things coming down the road. In fact, some of them are kind of just almost are here, that, and I'm talking technology, that can make our electric grid take more electricity. It's just interesting that some of these things will allow what we have to carry more, up to about 20%. And as we all know, our grid in some places is aging, and we have a demand for more electricity, and it takes actually a long time to get new lines put up, and hopefully we'll, with a new administration, that will change. But in the meantime, we need to make the most of what we have. So that passed through committee. I don't anticipate actually any problems with that bill at all.
And that's one nice thing about covering the Utah State Legislature and probably being there too, is that unlike on the federal level, you don't see a lot of gridlock if it's something that's going to benefit the people of the state. Normally, if it's something that's going to benefit people, it's going to pass right through, no problem. So I'm glad to see that is continuing to advance. And then there's another one that we talked about previously, but it's starting to advance. That's the child welfare reporting amendments that you've put through with the DCFS.
Right. And that bill, House Bill 33, it allows DCFS to, if they have, I would call them a frequent flyer, someone who continually, after two or three times, is making false reports about a family or a single dad or mom, and they know that they go check it out and they're false, they're unsubstantiated, they can report to the police that this person, because they'll have their name and number, is falsely reporting, and they can be charged with a Class B misdemeanor, and they can have a fine up to $1,000. They could spend 6 months in jail. So we want to get real serious because we want DCFS to be focusing on the real serious problems. And I'm always saying don't. I get kind of upset with them sometimes. I think they remove kids too fast. But they're, we need to make sure they have the time to assess all these cases properly. And so if we can get rid of all this false reporting, and what it is it's an ex-wife, an ex-husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, friends of those people who say, oh, we're gonna do this. And what they're doing is weaponizing DCFS. And so if it's a true report, there's not going to be a minutes problem. But if you become a frequent flyer and making false accusations, you can get in trouble. And it doesn't take much. You'll get a letter in the mail saying you've been charged, you're guilty, because they have the proof.
And I really like what this bill aims to do. False reporting across all sectors of law enforcement really seems like it's developed into more of a problem as we've moved into more of the digital age. So I'm glad that you're taking these efforts to kind of curtail that on the DCFS side of things, to a place where it can have major impacts on these kids and their families. And then on bills that you're not directly involved in sponsoring or writing, one of them that really has caught the public's attention is the daylight savings change. Let's talk about that for a second. What does that kind of entail for people who might not know?
Well, you know, we have passed a law a couple of years ago saying if the five states around us go to daylight savings, we'll go with them, or if the federal government makes that, we're ready to go. Well, we all know the federal government moves well slower than coal tar. And so we have a representative who's come up, and he has said, I want to make it so that we stay on standard time until the federal government does that. And so I'm personally torn because I don't like the changing back and forth. I agree with that. But I have a real soft spot in my heart for daylight savings time in the summer because I love those long summer nights.
Oh, they're the absolute best. And that's kind of where I find myself torn on this bill, too, because like you said, the time change, it's always one of those parts of the year where it comes around the corner and you just kind of dread it. But at the same time, I think I'd prefer to be stuck in daylight time with the longer days, you know, that summer feel outside. So that one is one that it could go either way. It's going to be interesting to see how it develops in the House. Now, another one that really has been a center of public attention is the HB 267, or the Public Sector Labor Union Amendments. That one passed the House, and it's on to the Senate. But from what we're seeing, that it's kind of receiving some pushback in the Senate, and they're going to have to make some amendments. What are you seeing up there regarding that bill?
Okay, well, it only passed the House by 10, which surprised me, because we... You know, you either like your unions or you hate your unions. And we have both kinds of representatives up here. So I was actually pleased that it only lost by 10 in the House. But it just barely passed through a Senate committee. It's on the Senate, in the Senate floor. And they've been talking about making some amendments about, you know, okay, if 50% of the working people in an organization say that they'll allow collective bargaining, whether they're a member of the union or not, et cetera, et cetera. But they just have not come to any resolution. So to me, that's a good sign, because that means the Senate is saying, you know what, we need to slow this down. We're getting lots of pushback, because I will tell you, this bill really and truly is mainly focused at UEA because of some lawsuits and things that they filed this last year. And so there's a lot of people up here who do not have any love for UEA. Unfortunately, they're dragging in all the other unions with them. Like, well, we're sorry, you're just collateral damage. But I will tell you, these people, they hang together. And so I'm as interested to see what happens, because if they make any changes on the Senate side, it has to come back to the House to be voted on again. So right now it has just stalled. Nothing has happened, and we'll just have to all pay attention, and maybe next week we can talk about it and see if it's done something.
And that's checks and balances in action right there. It's fun to see it, yeah. The process of government kind of bouncing back and forth like that. Now, Christine, moving forward with the rest of the session, it's right around the corner. You only have about a month and a half left of the session. Moving forward, are there any areas of emphasis that you're going to try and target with your legislation?
Well, I'm presenting a bill today on adaptive driving equipment in cars. We'll see how that goes. It has a little bit of a fiscal note. I have several other bills. If you have a fiscal note, that means it's going to cost the state money. Your chances of getting those through are pretty slim, because we just don't have a lot of money this year. I will say, those who are interested in Social Security taxes, the talk up on the Hill is they may raise, and I hope they do, the limits as to how much money you make before you stop paying the taxes on Social Security. But there's still a move that they want to drop the income tax rate. So that has not been settled yet, and as soon as things start making a move on that, I'll be glad to report on that.
Now, Representative Watkins, unfortunately, we are running out of time. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, just stay tuned. Even when you hear about bills on the news, know that sometimes it's just in committee. It hasn't gone through the House floor or the Senate floor. So you have to pay attention. If it's the Senate bill, it starts on the Senate side. The House HB means it's a House bill. So you kind of have to follow it all the way through to see if it makes it. So we're headed into the exciting and hot and heavy times up here, and So hold on.
Well, Representative Watkins, thank you again for always taking the time out of your day to come talk to us. We really appreciate it. Again, that was Representative Christine Watkins, and she was talking this week's legislative update, what's going on in the Utah State Legislature. And for more Castle Country Focus interviews like this one, you can stay tuned to KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM, or you can listen on the Castle Country Radio app. And for the KOAL Newsroom, I'm Aiden Mortensen.